The headlines, the IAEA starts consultations to find ways and means of convincing Israel to sign the NPT. UN forces reject Israeli claims over the existence of Scud missiles in southern Lebanon. And elsewhere, BP says there's no guarantee that a dome it plans to use will be able to contain the oil slick into the Gulf of Mexico.
It is 6 p.m. in Washington, D.C. and 1 a.m. in Jerusalem, Al-Quds. This is Press TV's World News.
Thank you for joining us. The head of the UN Atomic Organization is asking for international input on how to convince Israel to accede to the non-proliferation treaty.
Well, the move could increase pressure on Tel Aviv to disclose its nuclear arsenal. In a letter, Yukio Amano has asked the 151 member states of the International Atomic Energy Agency to share views on the matter. Amano has referred to a resolution adopted by the International Atomic Energy's General Conference in September of 2009. The resolution urged Israel to put all its atomic sites under UN inspection and join the non-proliferation treaty. Amano has shared his letter amid renewed criticism of Israel during an international conference in New York. Now, during the conference, member states called for a nuclear-free Middle East. They sharply criticized Tel Aviv for not throwing its nuclear facilities open to IAEA oversight and not signing the non-proliferation treaty. Israel is believed to be the Middle East's sole owner of nuclear weapons. Military experts estimate Tel Aviv has an arsenal of at least 200 nuclear warheads. Well, a UN peacekeeping force has rejected Israeli claims on the existence of Scud missiles in Lebanon. A general of the UN interim force in Lebanon, UNIFIL, says they have found no evidence of any Scud missiles in southern Lebanon. The UNIFIL general says those missiles are difficult to hide. Israel accused Syria of providing Scud missiles to Lebanon's Hezbollah in April. Washington has also accused Damascus of arming Hezbollah. Damascus, meanwhile, has dismissed the allegations. Well, UNIFIL spokesperson Niraj Singh has confirmed they have found no Scud missiles in their area of operation in South Lebanon.
This area, UNIFIL is carrying out on a daily basis as many as 350 patrols every day and night. We also have some aerial patrols along the blue line, which is the line of withdrawal of the Israeli forces from Lebanon in 2000. Indeed, these are big missiles. I don't have to say that. It's very evident. All I can say is that UNIFIL has not observed any such weapons in our area of operations until now.
Well, to discuss this a bit further, we're joined by Hussein Ibish, who is a senior fellow with the American Task Force on Palestine, who's joining us on the line from Washington. Mr. Ibish, thank you for joining our broadcast. Now, Saad Hariri recently said, and I'm quoting him now, the Israelis must understand that they must engage in the peace process sooner or later, and I think that Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't want peace, and his history confirms this, end quote. How significant is such a statement coming from a leader who the West enthusiastically backed?
Well, I think it's indicative of the change in, well, two things. First, the change of tone in Lebanese politics that happened in the aftermath of the election last year, when really I think Lebanese politics has been rearranged and rearranged to the liking of Hezbollah. And so that, in other words, support from the various factions that had been at odds with Hezbollah has become much stronger. Support from the Saad Hariri and his faction, support from Walid Jumblatt and his faction. And so I think the Lebanese are more united on this issue than they have been in the past. And, of course, Israel's threats to target all parts of Lebanon if they come into a conflict with Hezbollah again only strengthens Lebanese unity. I mean, it has really told the Lebanese there's no point in being divided because you're going to be treated by Israel as one and the same. In a way that would be different than 2006. And so I think that's had a big effect as well.
Right. Now, sir, the IAEA Director General Yukio Amano sent out letters in April to foreign ministers worldwide requesting their views on how to meet the objectives of a resolution entitled Israeli Nuclear Capabilities that was adopted in the 53rd session of the IAEA in 2009. Now, how do you think the member states will react to that, to such a letter, and will anything of substance actually come of this resolution?
I don't think so. The United States has an existing agreement signed during the Nixon administration with Israel. I mean, it's an actual exchange of written documents, whereby the United States undertakes to keep Israel's nuclear arsenal off the international table as long as Israel does not admit or talk about its nuclear arsenal. Right. So that is the quid pro quo, and the Obama administration has taken many new positions on Israel, but not on this issue. It was a little bit tricky for them, especially given the Egyptian role in the recent nuclear summit, but I think they did manage to find a way of dealing with this issue that has contained it for now. And I think as long as the United States is pushing the Israelis on other issues, they could probably have enough leverage to continue to successfully protect them internationally on this issue. But it is a big problem for the United States that and all the NPT countries, that Israel, India, and Pakistan have not signed the NPT and have nuclear weapons, and it's a big hole in the whole anti-proliferation regime.
Right. Now, sir, the text of this resolution doesn't state anything really new, but it does ask the Director General to remain seized of this matter and to report on the implementation at the next session of the IAEA. Now, obviously, do you foresee any such report saying that Israel has acceded to the NPT? And obviously, I would imagine that you would not agree to that. But if not, why? And what do you think of such a report would then say?
I don't think it will say that at all. If there's a report, I think it will talk about the continued problem of Israel and possibly India and Pakistan as well not being signatories of the NPT and being suspected of having nuclear weapons, not in violation of the NPT, but outside of the global proliferation regime. So that you could see, but I'm sure it will not say that Israel has acceded to the NPT, signed the NPT, and has begun dismantling its weapons and opened up to inspectors. That is not really going to happen in the foreseeable future. Nothing on the table is going to make it happen. And certainly as long as the United States shows a certain degree of understanding with Israel's nuclear weapons, that's probably, at least for the meanwhile, going to be enough to protect them and keep them off of the real international agenda, so to speak, which actually produces results, I mean.
All right, well, Mr. Hossein Ibish, we will have to leave it there. Senior Fellow with the American Task Force on Palestine joining us there from Washington. Sir, thank you very much for your insight.
We're going to tell you news about that oil slick in the Gulf of Mexico now. British Petroleum is warning that a containment dome designed to suck in oil gushing from a well in the Gulf of Mexico may not work.
This hasn't been done before. It's very complex. And it will likely have challenges along the way. We're landing a very, very large metal building onto the seafloor to capture the flow. And this has to be done very precisely at a depth of 5,000 feet. So it's a very complex task.
The operation to lower the 40-foot, 98-ton steel structure will take place on Monday. It comes nearly 2 weeks after an explosion at an offshore rig that led to a massive leak. An estimated 210,000 gallons of oil is gushing into the Gulf of Mexico every day. The growing oil slick is threatening to become an environmental and economic catastrophe.
Well, the United States and Pakistan have held high-level talks after Islamabad arrested some suspects related to a failed bomb plot in New York. U.S. Ambassador to Pakistan Ann Patterson discussed the joint investigation into the matter with the Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari. She also met with the Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi and Interior Minister Rahman Malik. U.S. State Department spokesman Philip Crowley also said Islamabad had vowed to fully cooperate with Washington. Pakistani-American national Faisal Shahzad has been charged with trying to explode a car bomb in Manhattan, New York. The Pakistani army has arrested some members of the Shahzad family, but it has not confirmed the suspects had ties with militants in Waziristan.
Another NATO soldier has been killed in southern Afghanistan. ISAF has not specified the soldier's nationality. The alliance says the soldier was killed in a small arms attack. Over 180 foreign soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan so far this year. NATO and the U.S. are sending thousands of extra troops into the country. Their deployment is to peak at 150,000 in August. Let's take you elsewhere now. Tensions are mounting in Greece as a general strike there apparently has paralyzed the country.
Indeed, Arash, three people have been killed after protesters threw a firebomb at a bank in the capital, Athens. Police have called out all forces to deal with widespread protests. Protesters are angered by spending cuts and tax rises. Government measures will come in return for a bailout by Eurozone countries. The parliament is to vote on austerity measures by the end of the week. A third general strike has hit Greece in the past few months, paralyzing the country.
It is 2:41 a.m. in Tehran, and this is a reminder of this hour's top stories for you. The IAEA starts consultations to find ways and means of convincing Israel to sign the NPT. UN forces reject Israeli claims over the existence of Scud missiles in southern Lebanon. And as you've been hearing, BP says there is no guarantee that a dome it plans to use will be able to contain the oil slick into the Gulf of Mexico.